Thanks very much to the big people at Big Pipe, all the little people at Big Pipe for sponsoring this episode of The Male Gaze.
Big Pipe is New Zealand's best internet provider with unlimited data, no contracts, and online support for all of their plans.
And Big Pipe has a brand new app, which has great features on it that nobody else has. Just Big Pipe have it. Like their own line testing tool, which allows you to test and troubleshoot your own connection. And if there's like something wrong, it just passes a bunch of information to Big Pipe so they can just fix it as quickly as possible.
Oh, Big like Pipe, it's a dream.
Yeah.
It's a bloody
dream. Thanks, Big Pipe.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Hello, what's up?
What is that? Do you remember what's that? That was such a big phenomenon.
I tried to bring it back as I tried to start my stand-up sets for a little while trying to do what's up
what's
as long
that?
As possible.
It was huge when I was at primary school.
Really big, eh?
It was a Doritos ad, I think. Wasn't it a Doritos ad or something?
We did not have Doritos.
No,
we were
but
at
like
school.
It became like maybe the first meme kind of thing.
Ooh.
But it was in a Super Bowl commercial, I'm pretty sure. And then like it just WhatsApp like transferred. Yeah.
For international listeners, we didn't get Doritos here until like four or 5 years ago, maybe.
New Zealand is so slow to get everything, pretty much. Apart from like giving women the vote.
Yeah.
But
Carl's Jr. ages.
H&M. Fucking ages.
H&M was like weeks ago. And when something new comes out, we queue up for it.
Isn't that crazy that we're in New Zealand, we're always like, oh, it takes us just to get anything here. And then we're like incredibly progressive.
We are. Big woman the vote.
And we bet Australia when it comes to same-sex marriage.
Yeah, and a lot of the world.
And a lot of the world, yeah.
Hey, let's start the fact of the gay.
Yeah.
Let's start of our podcast. By the way, because of the last... So we did talk about should we tease the subject before the fact of the gay?
Yeah. This theme of this episode, I'm going to tease it.
Tease it. Do a really nice
like
teaser.
A vigilante. I'm just going for it.
Yeah, go. Do a tease.
The theme for this episode is, I'm coming out.
I want the world to know.
Yeah.
We were doing different parts of the song.
Yeah. I was like, are there two songs that sound the same? But we were just singing like bits, like seconds apart.
Yeah.
I'm coming out or just coming out or you're coming out. We're all coming out for ice cream.
And we'll get into that very shortly.
Let your minds like just ponder on that.
But first of all, let's do the fact of the gay. I'll start. Thank you.
I was gonna let you.
Thanks. Well, that's kind of you. And today I want to talk about video games.
Video game radio stuff.
two different songs that time that we were singing. I was singing Lana Del Rey video games.
Oh.
You sing Video Kill the Radio Star. I mean, both classics in the
video
right way.
Video games kill the radio game star. There were no radio games. Oh, there were.
Yeah. Like
call her now to win a free CD.
Love that game.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the first gay character or the first LGBTIQ character in a video game.
You put the I.
Intersex.
Yeah, no. Like, I always get the order wrong.
Oh, would you go QI?
LGBTQI.
I definitely have heard people say GBLT recently, and it's often gay men putting gay first.
Oh, right.
And
I think like, LGP...
I think LGP sounds the best.
Let's chuck a P in there. P for positive.
Yeah. P for people.
True.
Everyone's included. First queer character, anyway, in a game. Now, there was the first appearance that is mostly regarded by people as this spear kind of character in a game called Moon Mist, who's having an argument with her girlfriend. On the sidelines. I don't know. I don't know what type of game Moon Mist is. But
In my mind, it's like a fantasy sort of thing.
Yeah, well, it came out in 1985, though.
Oh, so you would be playing on what?
Like
stones. It's like throwing stones at the grass or something.
Yeah, and people were like, oh, I think that stone's meant to be lesbian. That's what that game was. But anyway, a few years later, a character arose in the Super Mario universe.
Oh.
The character is called Birdo. I'm going to turn this photo to you now, Chris. And so Birdo is...
Didn't mean to objectify Birdo like that.
Birdo's pretty cute. Birdo is pink.
She's got a little bow on.
Little red bow.
She's got a big hole in her nose.
Her mouth, yeah, it sort of looks like a trumpet.
Oh, yeah. That would be great to eat stuff with. You just lob it in there.
Yeah. So Birdo, very progressive. The character first appeared in, I think, the 80s. Let me just bloody double check this fact I'm reading aloud. I'll tell you when... Oh, 1988, Super Mario Bros. 2 was the first appearance of Birdo, and in the description of Birdo for that game, it said the following. It said, Birdo thinks he is a girl and dresses like a girl, and he would rather be called Birdetta. So, in this instance, I guess they were implying that Birdo was male and wanted to identify female. Later on, however, Birdo progressively started using she, her pronouns. It kind of depends what country you're
How
in.
How are they able... I mean, this is great. How are you able to jam this into a video game? I don't really play video games, but usually you're just driving really fast in a car or like running away from baddies or just shooting guns.
Yeah, but you know, you might remember, and like we used to get early games on the PlayStation or the Nintendo that have a little booklet that you could read through.
Right.
With a description of all the characters. Like in Tekken, it would give you sort of their cool moves and stuff. He thinks he's a girl and he spits eggs from his mouth. That is from his description from that original game.
Well, her description.
Now Birdo is her and very progressively appears in Mario Kart 8 on the Woman of Racing organization.
I can't believe that, like, the depths of these games.
Yeah, they're huge.
There's organizations, there's like unions.
I mean, yeah, there are.
Well, I guess you need them in any kind of reality, whether that be a gaming reality
or real reality.
Or real reality.
Wake up. Wake up, sheeple. Birdo is kind of associated with Yoshi. It's kind of this, like, potentially a little bit of love going on there. Although she's never appeared in a Yoshi game, but they do hang out a lot in the other Mario games. Yoshi's a little green.
Again, coming from the boy who absorbed nothing.
The little green dinosaur. You'll see him. Cute. People have him on their phone
like
cases.
He looks a bit like Croc. I used to play a lot of Croc.
Croc, which one's Croc?
Croc was like, to be honest, a bit of a crock of shit. But it was like Crash Bandicoot sort of kind of animal. He's a little crocodile who ran around.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
He had his own game. You see like jelly things.
Oh, yeah.
They're all very much the same, aren't they?
Yeah.
We had a lot of like trial games where you had like a CD and you could only get like one level.
I did a lot of that. I remember I played the first level of this game, Pitfall. So many times.
It's just torture, isn't it? Because you just, all you'd want is to go beyond that level, and all you had was that level, and my parents would never splash out for the game, and we were playing it for hours. It's like, just drop the $20, please. But I get it. You got bills to pay.
For a long time, I played the demo of this game called Music 2000, which was less of a game and more of like, it was on your PlayStation, but it was like a music creation studio, so you could play.
So you're pretty
loops.
Much Lord.
Or more like Max Key, who for international listeners is our Prime Minister's son and also a DJ.
Cool country.
we're up to fuck. Anyway, I played it for so long and there were so few loops, but I got really creative with the one.
I had a
Top
of the Pops computer game.
What was that?
It was very similar. It was a bit like GarageBand, but
cool.
You'd like load it in and my computer would heat up so hot because it was just like, I can't deal with this. But it'd be like the Top of the Top Pops theme tune kind of played, and I used to pretend that I worked for Top of the Pops when I played the game. And you'd essentially make like loops using like pre-recorded kind of MIDI sounds that were quite tinny and bad. But I felt like I was the real deal.
Nice. Did you ever play the Spice Girls?
No.
Oh, great.
Was it a game?
It was a very simple game. You got to you got to dress them. You did a remix on
one
of their songs.
Were you their manager?
Yeah, you're sort of their manager. And then you help them film the music video.
And then they fire you.
Yeah, and then they get rid of you. And then you're like, please get back together and do a reunion tour. And they're like, well, three of us want to. But two of us, one of us doesn't really singer never really felt like a singer, to be honest. She never felt at home in your band. And the other one is kind of like succeeding without you guys. So,
you ready for my fact of the game?
Yeah.
Well, oh God, I mean, this is such a bad... It's not even a fact, really. I was on... I searched... Oh, it's even a disgusting search. What is the gayest name? Or like... the sort of crap I searched for this podcast. And then... I didn't call this podcast crap. I said the crap I searched for in this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
And it's thegayuk.com is the website. There's a picture of a man riding the back of a shirtless man. They look very kind of happy.
Ooh.
Christopher is the most commonly, as voted by users on Ranker.com, as the, quote, gayest name. Which is like all good in my books.
That's your name.
That's my, well, yeah, I'm born Christopher Robert Parker.
Yeah. C. Rob Kurt for short.
Yeah, which is my Twitter handle, and I don't regret it.
It's a disaster.
It's, I think all good art is tricky to begin with and then blossoms into something beautiful. As is my Twitter handle, a piece of fine art. Yeah, gayest name. Followed by James or Jimmy is the second one, and then Michael, which is the third one.
Oh.
So pretty cute.
Pretty cute. They're also like very common names generally, right? Like,
yeah, they're pretty sort of, and like it's, this is by people who use Ranker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I mean, that's, it's really, I wouldn't say this is a fact and more just like amusing. Just chew on it.
Did your parents, were they considering any other names to call you?
If I was a girl, I was gonna be called Elizabeth.
Oh, that's
which
nice.
Which is like the, like, they're just, Christopher and Elizabeth are just like the widest, plainest names, really.
Yeah.
But I quite liked that. I got a bit excited by the idea of being Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, I think you make a pretty good Elizabeth.
Yeah, Lizzie. I don't know if I would have like really, yeah, Lizzie's fun, like Lizzie McGuire. Pretty zany. Yeah. Liz, not as zany.
Well, you would retire to be a Liz.
Yeah, born Elizabeth, blossom into a Lizzie, and sort of settle down in Liz.
And maybe you're a Beth somewhere in there as well.
I always wondered whether I should like be a Beth.
Yeah, like Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Beth's a
beautiful
name. My
niece is called Elizabeth, and we call her Libby as well.
Yeah, that's cute. Yeah, there's a lot of versatility in that name. Mm. I was so quick to judge.
And there's a lot of versatility in you, baby.
I was going to call myself... I always like that guy Topher Grace, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He just cut the Chris off and just went with Topher.
Oh, of course. Yeah, forget about that.
Now, which I thought was like, that's really trendy, but I can't do that because he has done that. Now, he's the only, I reckon it's been done once. No one else can do it.
No, I've met other Christophers who call themselves Topher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or Toph even.
Toph.
Toph's a bit weird, eh? It sounds like...
So you're saying toast?
Yeah.
Toph.
I think my dad wanted to call me Henry because for quite a few years in my early life, he just called me that.
Really?
Yep.
That's some interesting parenting. Yeah, just like, it? I'm just going to go for what I want and I'm just going to like not acknowledge it and just shoot for it.
Yeah. We all, like, everyone in my family has like slightly weird names, and then the alternate like other gender name that we were going to be called is like super normal.
Oh.
My little sister's name is Tenneke, Dutch name. And if she was born a boy, they were going to call her Jessie.
After Jesse J.
Yeah. Or Jesse, the lead character from Free Willy.
Or Uncle Jesse from
Full House. And also Fuller House.
Uncle Jesse from Fuller House. And
you know,
also
from Fuller House?
Full House.
Oh, I didn't realize he was in that too.
Isn't that funny? There'd be a whole generation of people who will have been introduced to Fuller House before Full House.
Oh,
I mean, who is on Netflix going, oh, Fuller House, I wonder what that's about, and then just starting there and not knowing the back catalogue.
I don't know if I don't know how many people are doing that, but I definitely think there were probably parents with kids now who loved Full House, who were showing them Fuller House.
Yum. For you special listeners there tonight, a cough in your ear.
Oh, I'm so sorry, there's Pringles stuck in my throat. Okay, so I reckon there are, oh, producer Tim, can you cut all this shit out? Can you please go through and cut the bit out where I cough? Because I just don't want listeners to know that I'm like a human being who sometimes gets stuff stuck in his throat. I imagine their parents, right? They've got kids. They loved They loved Fuller House.
Yeah.
They loved Full House, so they're showing their kids Full House. Fuller House.
It's so confusing.
And
how do we keep up?
Because if they tried to show their kids Full House, the kids would be like, this is old.
Yes.
Why are there black bars on the side of the TV?
That is Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, and I'll have a little bit more respect in this house, please.
Yeah, and if you watch this all the way through, you would be wishing that they had come back.
Weren't they a phenomenon? Like, just these angelic little girls who just turned into these, like, empowered sort of drained fashion designers.
Empowered and drained.
Well, they're, like, they're bossy, like, in the sense that they're, like, got good jobs and they run their own lives. But they seem like they're low on iron.
Yeah, they definitely seem like they're, like, waifing about. Whereas Elizabeth Olsen seems like, like they got the mixture right at the laboratory.
Yes.
And they were like, oh, this was all, it's all the things that were great about Mary-Kate and Ashley, but just with a little bit more stamina.
Imagine if they were still doing kind of twin movies, but like in their like 30s.
Just morose. And
they're like, lost in Ibiza.
I would love that. Hey, today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about coming out, because I just feel like not enough people have talked about it. I just feel like there's not enough YouTube videos about it. And you guys,
it's such a, like, there's so, yeah, it's such a good trend that is like, just get on. If you're a young gay YouTuber out there, like, get a coming out video. You'll gain, you'll get like
views.
At least 1,000 views.
Yeah, I love kind of scanning, looking at a YouTuber and going through their videos and like looking how deep their coming out one is, and then how many there were before the coming out ones.
And then it's like, and the ones who then were like, then came out, and then like that was the brand for their YouTube page. And so you're like, what were you doing before then? I mean, this and then suddenly you always wanted to make this your YouTube channel.
Yeah,
the sort of like glittery Disney paradise. And then before that, it was like just like not quite there yet.
Yeah, I think they suddenly realized that it was all gay people watching them mainly already. So
yeah, they're looking at their stats.
And they were like,
you don't get that in Facebook and YouTube stats, though, do you? Whether like the, I don't know if YouTube can tell. It certainly can't tell by what it's suggesting me.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, YouTube definitely knows that I'm gay.
Oh my, I think YouTube thinks I'm a busy drag queen who's like needs more makeup tips.
Yeah, YouTube thinks that I'm into, oh gosh, just like live BBC Lounge covers from pop stars doing other pop stars songs.
That's cool. YouTube thinks I'm a busy drag queen who also loves diving.
One thing I will do is I'll watch like one like gay short film, and then it will come up like just by watching one of those films that'll come up in my suggested videos, just like all like romantic love scene on beach or like
You've got to be careful with what you click on YouTube. Like one wrong video, whoosh, your whole suggestions will be all of that.
Yeah,
I watched one Beyonce video, one, and then suddenly everything that was being suggested to me was Beyonce, which is like fine, but it's just like,
listeners, you should know that Chris hates Beyonce.
No, I love Beyonce, but it was just like, wow, like everything changed. It was all like drag queens and coming out videos before then, and then like Beyonce, like, oh no, you like Beyonce, right? No more of that, and only Beyonce for you.
And Chris had to close his laptop because he works in a very like pro police environment.
So would you make a coming out video now, Eli?
No bloody way.
Do you think you would? Oh, well, we know
you
didn't.
Mean if I was a teenager now,
do you think you'd be a vlogger?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. Like I would have made, because for our generation as well, it's like the idea of like making video content at home was like you had to be able to afford a video camera, and not me nor none of my friends' families could afford a video camera.
And then to put it on the internet, you would have had to like transfer it to the computer, and it would have been your shared family computer. And that's how you would imagine having like a secret video of like, I'm going to tell my parents I'm gay, and then you're like, Dad, can you help me transfer this to the computer? And then he has to watch it as you transfer it.
And then it's like 8 hours of uploading that you sit there with your dad being like, don't look on the screen.
Not yet. Now.
I'd be vlogging so hard if I was a kid. I mean, I'd be vlogging now. Like, I'm only podcasting because I feel like it's edgy, you know?
Yeah, it's niche.
I don't know. I kind of wonder if I was a teenager now, whether I would come, like, because I didn't come out till I was 21. And I wonder if I was a teenager in 2016, whether I would come out earlier or not.
There's so much online now where, and I guess there are a lot of, like, queer YouTubers out there, and there are a lot of queer personalities on the internet.
Yeah.
And even like, even in mainstream media, like even just having Ellen DeGeneres as like the sort of leader of primetime or daytime talk shows.
Yeah.
And she's, and she'll often just like slip a little sort of lesbian thing, like kind of like joke in there every now and then.
Yeah.
It just kind of brings it out more. And so I guess, yeah, I think I would have been the same.
Mm.
I certainly, when I was, I also came out, I was late to come out. I was also watching how to like coming out videos on YouTube in the build up.
Oh, really?
So I bought into it. I mean, I did find it useful.
Yeah.
Just like you want to figure out your strategy and how you're going to do it and how you articulate it. And so watching videos of other people kind of articulate it was kind of useful, but also,
wow,
these sort of American teens are so big in their feelings.
And yeah, it
was my coming out story was just like with a salve in my hand talking to my mum.
Like, New Zealand culture is not very, like, expressive. You don't express your emotions super
openly. We're pretty dry balls.
We're pretty dry balls down here.
I like the things on BuzzFeed and stuff of, like, coming out cakes. Like, people who have baked cakes and then cool. Iced them. And be like, Mum, I've always wanted to tell you this. And then, like, you flip the cake over or something. It's like, I'm gay. Or, you know those baby reveal cakes?
Yeah.
I reckon there should be, like, a sexuality reveal cake, and then you can cut into it and it's a rainbow cake.
Yeah.
And you're like, Mum, I'm gay.
Shaka. The first person I told that I was gay was my friend Cole. He had won. We were studying at drama school together. He'd won.
Are you an actor?
Yeah, thank you.
All the world is a stage.
And we are but
merely
players.
Vloggers.
All the world's a stage and we are merely vloggers. Shit, that's
we have
good...
our coming out videos and our reviews. Yeah. And one man in his time has many videos.
Oh. We unbox. anyway, he'd won tickets to see the movie Piranha 3D.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I reckon you might like Piranha 3D. And then we went to that movie and then like...
You were so inspired.
So inspired. The movie was like full of boobs. And I guess like at the time he was like my gay friend and I was like
his straight pal
hanging out with him in the
straight
movie.
Straight pal from the farm.
Little did he know that the both of us were both sitting there not enjoying the 3D boobs.
Or the piranhas? Wait,
yeah.
Do the piranhas have boobs? Or
the piranhas eat boobs off the naked woman.
God.
Like literally nibble.
Oh no.
It's not a good flick.
But worth a watch to come out to someone.
Anyway, I didn't tell. I text. We sat in the car for 8. I think he knew that I was like trying to tell him something that I didn't. And then I texted him that night. And then we like the following night went for a big walk around the campus of our university.
Yeah.
And just talked it out.
My coming out was through a breakup.
Oof.
With a woman. And then it all just sort of like burst out from that. So it was kind of a bit more like ripping off a band-aid. But then she was really great about it. She was really supportive. And she dropped me at my friend's house who I was drinking with previous.
Yeah.
And they were not expecting me to come back. And they're like, you're here. And I was like, what's going on? And it's like, she asked me if maybe I was attracted to Ben, and I am. And then that was that. And then we just sat under the stars and talked about 4 a.m. And it was such a it's like one of the most memorable experiences. And it was so, despite the kind of early stages of it, because it's through a breakup, being slightly traumatic.
Yeah.
The end of it was really inspiring and heartwarming and a real wonderful thing I feel like I got to experience as a human. Like,
yeah.
It's so tricky. Like, it's such a tricky thing to go through. But then it's also such a interesting experience that a young individual can go through. I guess, like women, like mothers and their daughters have that bond that they have talking about periods and breasts. And, like, you don't really have that with your, as a boy, with your mom. You might have a talk about pubes, but that's...
Pube chat. We need to have a talk.
There's some hair growing down there.
Down there.
And under there, under your armpit, and under your, and sometimes on your chin.
That's what you know. It's normal.
All boys have it. but to have that sort of sexuality chat with your parents is kind of a really special thing that kind of brings you close together, hopefully.
Yeah, it forces you to reveal a very human part of yourself that you would might normally never have to talk to your parents about.
This was my biggest beef with it. It was like, I just don't want to talk to my parents about the fact that I'm having sex. Like, that's just... I think that is so much of it that's so awkward.
Yeah.
Because it's like an unspoken thing you're bringing into the room of like, I have a sexual preference.
Yeah.
But it feels more than that because it's sort of the way you identify in the world. But I think it's an unspoken thing that they sort of think about and you sort of acknowledge them thinking about.
Yeah, I always think... I mean, this is a dark thought, but I'm like, your parent... like
you can bring it out.
It's whenever you're in a relationship, I feel like, and your parent, like if your parents meet a boyfriend or whatever, like... Do you reckon they think about like who's the top and who's the like?
I do wonder that. It's like, not a dark thought. It's a real. It's a brilliant.
It's a real thought, and I'm just like,
do you think about? Here's the question. Here's the question.
Okay.
Do you think about that with other same-sex couples?
No.
So you wouldn't question that about like me and my boyfriend or like our other friends.
I mean, like you tell me.
I mean, you tell anyone. No.
No. I mean, no. I just don't. Care that much.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the
really
same.
I really don't care. But I feel like you would care more if it was a more mysterious thing to you.
How funny is it when straight people ask about how it all works? Like, it's one of my favorite things. Like, so like, are there like, do you like choose before you go into having sex? Like, do you have do you sit down and have a meeting of like what position you want to be? It's like, you don't do that in Hitler. Like, you're not going to be like, I want you to go down on me.
Schedule all the time.
Yeah, you don't like write a running order.
Yeah, but that is a thing that heterosexual people will never know, the moment of terror where you're like mid, like you've been doing all the foreplay and then you both realize that both of you have been expecting the other person
to be the bottom.
To be the bottom.
And you're both not ready.
You're both like, I'm not, it's not so doing it today.
And it's like, oh, okay.
Okay.
It's done then.
Yeah,
such a wonderful moment, isn't it?
That moment where you're trying to read each other, like,
you're pulling me this way, which makes me think you want that. But I'm not going to give that up just yet.
To be honest, it might, like, it could clear things. I wonder if there's a quick way to kind of reveal, like you both fold up a piece of paper, and you're like, this is what I want to do today, and then you reveal it to each other at the same time.
I think it should be more like how you're feeling down there. There's, like, the reveal, like, whether you can or you cannot.
But yeah, that's true.
Which is quite funny.
Yeah.
Or, like, there could be just, like, a code of, like, what socks you're wearing.
Oh, that's good.
That would be a great thing to... I mean, it's kind of... The way it would be, oh no, but then like, you know how like your condom did those like singlets that were like, you're a top, you're a bottom, or you're a verse?
Yeah, which I
was like, that's kind of like a kind of flirty thing to wear, but I was like, it sort of feels tricky as well. But
yeah,
that's where that sock thing would not work, because it would become like a statement of like, I am strictly a top.
Yeah.
But I was like, I feel like it should be more like, there should be like, whether you can or you cannot have... be a bottom.
All that stuff just for me, it's like, oh, do we really need more labels?
Yeah, and also, do we need to like put those labels on t-shirts?
Yeah. And do we need to visually be acknowledging
and like grouping in little clusters?
What is a very the big day out detail about? Grouping. Can you imagine like a little like a disco where like all the bottoms are on one side of the room and all the tops are on the like, other side of the room?
Like. They're too awkward. They don't want to dance with each other just yet.
Yeah. We're just eating chips on the side.
Oh, that's so cute. That's cute.
I was thinking about Finding Prince Charming recently on this subject.
What's that?
I know
what that is, but for
our listeners.
Oh, this is out here.
It's a reality TV show I'm very slowly watching because I'm not 100% engaging with it, but it is kind of fun. It's the Gay Bachelor. There's a Gay Bachelor. There's 10 guys that are vying for his love. Instead of a rose ceremony, they have the black tie. What is it called? It's called like a black tie encounter or something.
Oh, and my God.
He's either like...
The black tie encounter.
Maybe it's like black tie...
Dinner?
No, it's not a dinner. They don't eat any food. Black tie event? I don't know. Anyway, that he either leaves their tie on or... if they're leaving, if he's kicking them out, he removes the tie from them.
Oh, that could be and quite beautiful, eh?
No, because he always messes up their collar. And actually, the first ceremony, he had to place the black ties on all the ones that he was keeping, and he never put the collars down right. They all looked bloody terrible.
Imagine if you were wearing one of those stupid ties that had just like elastic. You didn't know how to tie a tie, so you just had all those like elastic. You just like stretched it over their heads.
Anyway, the reason I brought that up because I was like, how does this work? How do you in a put like 10 gay men in a mansion and be like, you all want to date this guy and you don't want to date each other if they're all meeting for the first time? Unless they're all strict bottoms and he is a strict top.
That's the only way I can see that.
Or vice versa.
I reckon they should have just... There was that story in The Bachelor recently about the two of the women who got together, and they were just like, no, fuck this. We like each other better.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
They were like, we just hung out at every cocktail party and had a blast.
That's
and now we hang out all the time.
Brilliant.
Great holiday
That's
snaps.
What I thought the Gay Bachelor would be like. Just like a whole bunch of guys being like, we're just going to hook up. You know,
I would have loved more of that.
It would have been great.
Because it's too television. Normalized. Like this...
Yeah. If you're going to make the Gay Bachelor, don't like normalize it like that.
Yeah. Don't make a heteronormative version of what gay romance is. I'm not into that.
Yeah, no, that's why I just can't engage fully, mate.
Yeah, just can't get into it. Cause
as a Kiwi bloke, that's just why I can't engage with that properly.
Yeah, but if they made a more Kiwi version, I'd be
inclined.
I'd be digging into that Tucker.
We flew away from coming out stories.
We sure did. I don't know if there's anything more
really to touch on. I mean, there's a lot of YouTube videos, and they, as much as we mock them, they are like useful.
They are really helpful,
and it's a wonderful experience. And if you could go back. This is maybe what we should end this on.
Okay, cool.
If you could go back and like re-come out, what would you have changed in any of in any aspect, whether that be like your age or how you did it or who came out to you first or blah blah blah?
I wish I could have been happier when I was telling it to my family. You know what I mean? Because there were some like. The first one, obviously, was like very nervous, and it's the first time you've said those things aloud, and that's freaky. And then, like, kind of the next few friends that I told, it slowly built up and became more of like an exciting thing to tell people.
Yeah.
And then going back to, because it's an exciting time as well when you're like, when you're coming out and you haven't been with a guy yet, and all that stuff is all ahead of you, and I feel like you should just be. Making the most of that and loving every moment. Because I look back on that like a nostalgic period in my life when I was like excited about what was coming up instead of now when I'm just like jaded by dick.
No, but as I remember being like, this is really exciting. I really feel like I'm taking ownership of my life now and I'm really like going after what I want.
Yeah. And every stage of it is a thrill, like the first time that you go on an actual date with a man to a place, the first time you hold hands of the guy in public, like all that kind of stuff is just those little thrills. I feel like you just need to make the most of them.
That's so brilliant. I'm going to build off that and say I wish I could have just enjoyed it more, like enjoy it, like not try to rush through the experience so much. I did take ages to come out. Like the event of coming out to people was like a year. But I think I was just so pained by the each event of telling someone.
That's exhausting.
Which I should have like it is scary because you don't know how people are going to react, but like you expect your family's hard because you're sort of born into your family. But with friends, if your friends are side with you, it's like I'm going to give them the boot, kind of, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So totally. All my friends were amazing about it. And of course, like they always are, because that's why they're your friends.
Yeah.
And I just wish I could have been like, rather than being like, I'm sorry I haven't told you this, just been like, I've got something amazing to tell you.
Yeah, find some joy in it because it's a cool thing.
And then like really enjoy it. Yeah. Have a party.
You're coming out.
Party.
Video games.
Video kill the radio party.
Thanks so much for listening, and thank you to Big Pipe. They are the best bloody internet providers in town.
They're coming with out them. With some great internet deals for you.
And we're coming out of this stinky booth we're in.
Pooey.
Who farted? You farted.
You farted. Thanks so much for listening.
I'm sorry, Mom. it's not a phase.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you're thirsty for another, why not try...
A lot of the fun part of the film is guessing the celebrity voice and then wondering why would you pay them when you could get a cheap voice artist that would not affect the children's enjoyment of the film. Like, Jeffrey Tambor is the king of the trolls for all the kids who love Transparent, I guess.
Oh, and Arrested Development.
Sorry.
Some six-year-olds who are like, oh, the first three seasons, not the fourth, though.